If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Matthew. Is where we're going to be, and this is a very important message for the church. I think it's probably a better message for Sunday morning when more people are here, but this is a message that Jesus preached in his last week on the earth, and it was also considered his farewell message. This is his last preaching that he's going to do on this earth, and it's a parable that he shares, but it's a parable that it is a warning. This is a warning to the church. This is a warning to every person who's here, because it's every person in this church service tonight is mentioned in this parable. You have got to identify with one of two groups in this parable, either the wise virgins or the foolish virgins. And so as we kind of work through this, I want you to begin to see, where do I fit into this picture? And so here is the story. I heard on a podcast this week, Al Mohler has a podcast called The Briefing, and he was talking about this bulletin of the atomic scientists, and they have this clock. It's called the Doomsday Clock, and they have moved the Doomsday Clock up to 100 seconds before midnight. In other words, if midnight is the end of the world, according to the Doomsday Clock, we are 100 seconds before midnight. The article was written by Hannah Knowles and Abby Olheiser, and it's in the Washington Post. And this is what they said: this Doomsday Clock is a metaphor, for the end of the world, in a recognition of growing threats from nuclear war, climate change, and disinformation. And in the article, it says the clock is now set, the closest it has ever been set to midnight. Closer even than during the Cuban Missile Crisis, when the world was actually on the brink of atomic war. And so according to this group called the Atomic Scientists, we are closer to the end than we've ever been before. You know what? I would agree to that. Okay. And I would say that tomorrow will be closer to the end than we've ever been today. Okay. And so this story talks about sort of the end of the world, or the end of time as we know it, or the end of opportunity to actually become a Christian. I've talked to a lot of people about their relationship with Christ. Some people I've talked to on their deathbed. I can think of particularly two men that I've talked to that they were in the process of dying. I've seen other man I can think of who was dying. I was watching him die, and I just wondered, you know, where are these men going? I think I know where they're going, but I'm not sure. You don't want to wait until the last hour to decide what you're going to do with Christ. It's something that you need to decide ahead of time. It's like waiting to the last minute to do your eighth grade science project. You don't wait till the Monday night when it's due on a Tuesday to start working on your science project. You've waited too late. And you don't want to wait too late to decide what you're going to do with Christ. And so this is the story, or the parable, of the wise and the foolish virgins. And so I'm going to talk through it, and I'm going to come back and make a few points, okay? So let's just start right here in verse 1. He says, "The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." Now, at a wedding, there were three parts. There was the engagement, there was the betrothal, and then there was the actual wedding ceremony. And the way that worked was, one parent from this family, or the dads actually, the dad of the girl and the dad of the boy would get together, and they would decide, our kids are going to get married. And so that was the engagement. All right, the kids had nothing to say about it. They were just, it was prearranged. And the betrothal was, when they got to the age where they were almost ready to get married, they would go into a betrothal, and they would be betrothed for a year. That's what Mary and Joseph were. They were betrothed for a year. And so I was preaching on that sermon about Lot, you know, the Lot had these girls. It says they had never known a man, and yet it refers in that story to the sons-in-law. And somebody asked me the question, says, how could they be the sons-in-laws of Lot if they had never known a man? And I asked somebody about that. I think it may have been Dion, I'm not sure. They said, well, they were engaged. They were in the period of betrothal. And so that's what is happening here. There's the betrothal, and then there is the wedding ceremony. And the wedding ceremony is it would start at the groom's house. And the bride would be at her house. And the groom would take this trip through town. And he wouldn't go on the most direct route. He would go all over that city, in and out of every street, because he wanted as many people as possible to celebrate with him that he was going to get his bride. And so that he would go to the bride's house, and at the bride's house, there would be a wedding party that would be waiting for them. That's what these 10 virgins are doing. They're at the bride's house, and they're waiting for the arrival of the bridegroom. Okay? Now, the number 10 is significant because there are 10 of them. All right? We think about that number 10. Do you remember when Ruth and Boaz were going to get hitched, and Boaz had to go to the city gate, and there had to be 10 men who would witness that transaction for him to become the redeemer for Ruth. There were 10 men, and I'm not, this is Old Testament, this is, well, ancient, but 10 men had to be present to carry out the Passover feast. There had to be at least 10 men present whenever you were going to start a synagogue. And so there's 10. It's kind of a number of completion. And here there are 10 virgins that are waiting here for this party to start. Okay? And it says, now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But the bridegroom was delayed, and they all slumbered and they slept. And so here's the picture. There are these virgins, and they're there to kind of keep the bride's family company and to keep the bride company while they're waiting on the bridegroom. And the bridegroom's delayed in coming. Why is he delayed in coming? Because he's going through every little street. And so finally they get there, and they've got their lamps, And there are 5 of those that are considered wise. And they have not only oil in their lamps, but they have a supply. They have an extra little vase or an extra little package of oil. But the foolish ones, they were too busy to get oil. Or they were too preoccupied with something else. These foolish virgins didn't have the time. They didn't do the planning. They didn't think ahead. It wasn't important enough for them to have extra oil. And so here they are. They're at the bride's house, and the bridegroom is delayed in coming. And in the meantime, not only do the foolish virgins get sleepy, but the wise virgins do too. And they slumbered, and it says they slept. And so here they are, asleep, waiting on the bridegroom to come. All right? And it's kind of like a lot of churches, I think, tend to be. We tend to kind of slumber. You know, it's kind of like when the disciples were with Jesus, and they slumbered while he was praying in the garden. They couldn't help it. They were tired, and they slumbered, and they slept while Jesus was praying. And so the church is kind of like that. We can get in a slumber. We can go to sleep waiting on the bridegroom to come. So we keep on the story. It says, at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Now, like this illustration that I shared, midnight is always sort of that time where it's like the deadline. If you remember, in the last plague of the Egyptians, when did that last plague, the plague of death, when did that plague take place? It's at midnight, right? You think about the man who was going to build larger barns because he had so much grain, he didn't know what he was going to do with it. It doesn't say at midnight, but he says, you fool, tonight your soul is required of you. And so here it is, it's midnight, it's sort of like the deadline, and so the cry was heard. It says, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. And then all the virgins rose and they trimmed their lamps. It doesn't say that only five of them trimmed their lamps. It says they all trimmed their lamps. It says they all had apparently had some oil in their lamps, and they were going to trim their lamps. They were going to get these lamps ready to for the party to go in and to celebrate. It says, and the foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. And so they had enough oil in their lamp to just get a little flame when the bridegroom got there, but then it was extinguished. And so they turned to the wise virgins and they asked them for some oil. Okay? It says the wise answered and said, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Okay? So, pretty easy story. I mean, the bridegroom gets there. They trim their lamps. They don't have enough oil to keep their lamps burning. They turn to the wise virgins, and they say, hey, would you mind letting us have some of your oil? And I've always thought in this story, it's like, well, gosh, they're kind of selfish. They're kind of stingy, aren't they? I mean, why wouldn't you share a little bit of your oil? I mean, why wouldn't you spread the gospel there at the very end? But it's kind of like they've waited too late. I remember when I was in maybe the 8th or 9th or 10th grade. How many of you, your parents helped you with your projects, okay? Okay, how many of you had to do your projects all by yourself? You get no help from your parents, okay? All right, my parents didn't even know I had a project, okay? And so it was a biology class or something like that. I was supposed to come up with this science project idea. And so you remember those world book encyclopedias? Y'all ever have those? The salesman came by and your parents felt guilty because they thought you were really going to be dumb. And so they'd buy all these world books you never looked at because you'd rather play outside. And well, my mom and dad not only bought the world books, they brought those other sets. Y'all remember what those were called? No. I'm talking about childcraft, okay? I don't know if that's some kind of witchcraft for children or what, but, we had childcraft. And so I got the childcraft book out, and I started looking for science projects. I came up with this great science project. I was going to grow lima beans in a croaker sack. Get some lima beans, put them in the croaker sack, wet it down. A few days later, starts to germinate. So I thought I'd do this project on germination of lima beans in a croaker sack. That works good if you don't wait till the day before. It's due because it's hard to germinate seeds in a croaker sack in less than 12 hours. Okay? Certain things you don't need to wait to the last minute to do. Okay? But these foolish virgins, they have no oil for their lamps. And so they go out. And they're going to buy some oil. And while they're gone, the bridegroom comes, goes into the wedding party. Now, we've already gotten through the engagement. We've gotten through the betrothal. And now we're going into the wedding party. And the five foolish virgins are left outside. It's afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. In other words, they got to the door. They were all locked out. Knocked on the door. Lord, Lord. Reminds me of that verse that says, many will come to me that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not do all these things in your name? And he'll say what? Depart from me. I never really knew you. And so, verse 12 says, but he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. And then the warning comes in verse 13. This is what it says. It says, watch out. It says, watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Now, let me give you just a few points of this sermon, and then we'll be done. First of all, this is relating to the Jews, okay? Primarily, I mean, the stories of Jesus had multiple layers. But the primary was that the Jews missed out on Jesus. Okay? Because when Jesus came the first time, the Jews basically ignored him. Now, some did come to faith in Christ. The disciples certainly were Jews. But for the most part, they were the foolish virgins. Now, in the story, the virgins, to me, not only represent the Jews, many of them were left out, but also represents the church, okay? So the virgins are the waiting church, okay? The Jews were unprepared to receive Jesus when he came, so they were out of the wedding party. They were shut out of the party. The Bible says when he came to his own did not receive him. And so it's relating to the Jews. It's also relating to the church. It's a picture of us. We're waiting. We're waiting for the Lord to come. And I think this is really waiting for his second coming at the end of the tribulation period. We're waiting for him to come. And the second point is this. Some things should not be put off until the last minute. You don't wait to the last minute to study for a test. You don't wait to the last minute to work on a term paper. You don't wait to the last minute to do your biology project. And you don't wait to the last minute to decide what you're going to do with Christ. Third thing is this. There are some things that cannot be borrowed. There are some things that cannot be borrowed. You cannot borrow a relationship with God. It has to be your own. It can't be mama's. It can't be daddy's. It can't be the pastor's. It can't be nana's or papa's. It has to be your relationship. It has to be something that you don't borrow. You cannot borrow a relationship with God. You cannot borrow character. You have to develop and have your own character. We can't ride on the character of other people. You cannot borrow a prayer life. You have to have your own prayer life. You cannot borrow knowledge. You have to learn yourself. You know, you have to get in the Word and learn it. You have to learn to feed yourself. The foolish virgins were aware that they had no oil in their lamps. They were just not concerned early enough to do anything about it. And so when it came time to get some oil, it was oil that could not be borrowed because the wise virgins were not loaning their oil out. The third thing is this. The second coming of Christ cannot be known in advance. You know, believing that this is during the tribulation period, you know, even though we know that the tribulation period is going to come down and they're going to be 7 years of that, even the people that are in the tribulation, they're going to know about the approximate time that Jesus is going to come, but they will not know the exact day or the exact hour. And we don't know the exact day or the exact hour. And I'll tell you another thing we don't know. We don't know when we're going to die. I'm sure that most of you have heard the report of Kobe Bryant, one of the greatest basketball players who ever played the game. This morning at 10 o'clock, he was in a helicopter, and he and his 13-year-old daughter were instantly killed. He didn't know that was going to happen when he was eating his breakfast this morning. We don't know what's going to happen. So the second coming of Christ cannot be known in advance. Midnight is a time when most people are in a deep sleep. And I think the impact behind this story, or one of the emphasis of this story, is Christ is going to come when people are not expecting him to come, or death is going to come unexpectedly. Next thing is this. Always be spiritually prepared to meet Jesus. I was at Home Depot yesterday, and you can buy anything at Home Depot. Now, right outside in front of the lumber section at Home Depot, there is actually a bunker. Okay? You know, some of those folks that are doomsday preppers, and some of you might have one of those, so I'm not going to make fun of you because I think it's you know, for some people, that's probably what they need to do. If they're that fearful of weather, you might need to get one of those, okay? But you can be prepared. I mean, there are folks that are really super prepared. They have hundreds of rounds of ammunition. They have lots of food and batteries and water. You know, I'm one of those people that when they're, you know, they say, hey, there's going to come a hurricane, I'm like, it'll be all right, you know. I don't worry that much. As long as we have a little water and some food, you know, I'm pretty much okay. I do have a generator. Doesn't work, but I have one. Okay. My mom does have a generator. So, but, you know, of all the things that you can prepare for, be spiritually prepared. Be ready for the Lord to come back, or be ready. Another thing is this. There will be no second chances when He comes. Okay? These foolish virgins didn't get a plan B. Okay? It was over with. They had oil was in the lamps of the wise virgins, and it was for them only. They did not share. In fact, they could not share. There are some things you cannot share. Grace is one of those things. You have to have your own grace. This is another point, and this is very important for the church, especially today. The 10 virgins, when we start this story, are indistinguishable. Okay? They're indistinguishable. This is what I mean. They all dressed just alike. Their lamps all looked alike. They probably themselves looked alike. They sang the same songs in the same key. They all expressed themselves, and they all had outward appearances of being ready for the bridegroom to come. But they were not all alike. There was something different. Even their oil lamps looked the same. But the difference was this. 5 of those had oil in their lamps, and 5 of those had no oil. Some people make a profession of faith. They profess Christ, but they never really have a relationship with Him. It's kind of like having that oil initially in your lamp, but there's nothing to back it up. It's not enough to profess Christ. There's got to be something that backs it up. I mean, anybody can make a profession of faith. I mean, I could work with a parrot long enough to get the parrot to recite the Lord, to recite a sinner's prayer. It doesn't make the parrot saved. A person has to have a relationship with Christ. Because if you have a profession without a relationship, it's worthless. It's like having a lamp without any oil. And the next point is this. The foolish virgins were buying oil when they should have been burning oil. They were out buying oil. The wise virgins at some point before this story had inconvenienced themselves to have some extra oil. The foolish virgins refused to be inconvenienced. But in the end, they were eternally inconvenienced. You know, you see this theme over and over. In this story, it's oil and no oil. In another story that Jesus told, it's wedding garments and no wedding garments. In one of the stories Jesus told, it's wheat and tares. In another story He told, it's good soil and bad soil. Okay? And so, next point is this. At the end of the story, the Lord did not know the 5 foolish virgins. Now you say, how is that possible? Because the truth is that the 5 foolish virgins were never really a part of the wedding party. They were not a part of the genuine party. They were there as imposters. They had dressed like the others. They looked like the others. They talked like the others. They had been in close proximity to the others, but they were not a part of the others. They were posing as members of the wedding party, but they were not in the wedding party. One person has described the foolish virgins as indifferent procrastinators. Next point, getting close to the end here. At the end of the tribulation period, the approximate time of the second coming of Christ will be known, but the exact day and hour no one knows. And no one knows the day of their death. Something we need to be reminded as a church. Even though Christ tarries, he will come at last. In the very end of this story, we're told to watch, to be ready, to be attentive to your souls, to be attentive to your families, to be attentive to your church, to be attentive to your responsibility as a Christian. But the most encouraging thing here is in this story, the door is shut and it's too late. The gate was shut to keep those ones inside safe and keep the ones who did not prepare out. But the good news is, tonight, the gate is open. The gate is still open. It's not too late to have a genuine relationship with Christ. Let me pray. Father, we just lift up this time of invitation to you. And I pray that if there's someone here who's maybe they're like that imposter, Lord. They just they look like they're part of the party, but they're not a part of the party. God, they have a lot of the characteristics of those who are in the wedding, but they're not really a part of the wedding, Lord. They're just imposing, Lord. They're imposters. And so I pray that tonight, God, we'd realize that the only way that we can ever get into heaven is through Jesus Christ. And we have to be prepared for that, Lord. We have to know Christ, and we have to have a relationship with Him and follow Him. And God, it means that we have to be discipled. We have to grow. Those things don't get us into heaven, but they're just indications that we actually have a relationship. So I pray, Lord, if anybody here does not know Christ, they would come tonight and they would receive Christ as their Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.